Well, our society has no shortage of pernicious nonsense that causes us problems at all times, which makes our society about as ununique as ever, because every society has always had endless things that they tell us are right that turn out to be less so. But we're going to be looking at one probably over this week and next week, looking at Paul's 14th chapter in his letter to the church at Rome, Romans 14. It tends to all sort of jumble together for me, for better or worse. So we're probably going to end up talking about similar kinds of things both this week and next week. But the thing I really want us to pay attention to is what Paul says, and depending on what translation you have, the sermon title comes for that, where we do not live to ourselves. And the pernicious bit of nonsense that our culture is telling us that drives me absolutely crazy is this whole idea, that first of all, that we are the only person that matters, we're the only thing that matters really, and that we can do it all ourselves. Both of them are absurd. They're demonstrably false on sort of every level, and yet we're told over and over and over again that the person that we should look up to is the self-made person, is the person who has no connection with anyone else except what they choose to except how they choose to connect, and it's absolutely maddening how often you run across this. And how incredibly dangerous it is to us as people, and in particular to us as Christians. Because what that says is it says that what I decide is all that matters, and what I decide is right. And Paul talks about it right from the very beginning of this, of chapter 14, where he says, accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on disputable matters, and then goes on to talk about eating and not eating and other things, and we'll talk about this even more, I suspect, next week. But Paul is saying that we need to accept each other because we're in connection with each other. Because you don't need to accept something that has no connection with you. You need to accept the fact that it's raining. If you go outside when it's raining and you decline to accept that it's raining, you're still going to get wet. Things that directly affect you, you have to come to grips with them some way or another. And Paul says, accept those people around you who are different than you. You can decline to accept the outcomes of the weather on the moon Io, which is a Earth-like moon, about the same size as our moon, around Saturn or Jupiter, I can never remember which. Apparently its weather is really quite extreme. I don't have to accept its weather at all. Because it doesn't make any difference to me. It doesn't affect me. But if I try and live my life here, suggesting that at some level that what you do and what you think doesn't affect me, then I'm living in a dream world. And Paul comes at this from the perspective of saying that we need to make sure that we accept those around us, because first and foremost, God's accepted them. And this is part of what drives me so crazy about this whole idea of our lives are entirely our own. That we don't have to live our lives in such a way that we pay attention to the people around us, or pay attention to the people around us in the way their lives might impact ours. Because first and foremost, Christian people know that we've been accepted by God. And coming from that is this deep understanding that says if we've been accepted by God, then we need to accept those around us. And part of that means that we can't just live entirely to ourselves. Now, I have no objection to the notion that we need to be responsible for ourselves. I think that's biblical, and I think it's sensible. I have no difficulty with the notion that says my life matters and how I live it makes a difference. But it makes a difference not just to me. How I live my life makes a difference to everyone around me. And as what I do impinges on, well, probably first and foremost, my children and my wife, you know, like my family, where we see each other fairly frequently, and then on out to the people I work with, and that I worship with, what I do affects you. And then you've got your own circles that go in other places, and what I do has an effect on people that I've never met. If I don't pay attention to that as a possibility, I'm going to live a life that is selfish and unthinking. It can't be anything else. And we will think that if we believe that we live to ourselves alone. If we believe that everything that we do only affects us, or that we only have to worry about that which directly affects us, well, we're probably going to be very unpleasant people to be around. We're going to be self-oriented. If we want to get into psychiatric terms, we're going to be narcissistic, and we're going to be a bunch of other things. And if we're not careful, we'll fall into this, because we see this everywhere. This past week, I don't know what's been wrong with me. I haven't been well enough to go to work, but haven't been sick enough to sleep 24 hours a day. So I've been spending more time on the internet, not just sort of miscellaneously clicking on things, but sort of following people that say things that I think are important and of value, and then seeing where they take me. And I am absolutely astonished. Well, first of all, I'm astonished that I'm astonished at how bad it is. But at how bad it is as far as people who are still trying to make the case that they have no responsibility to the people around them because they are living their lives without connection with them. And I just think, I've never met anybody who's taken care of all their own health care. Not even doctors. They usually go to other doctors. I've never met anybody who's built all of the roads that they use, who built the schools and paid for the teachers that their kids are educated in, that built the power plant that brings electricity to their home. I've never met anybody like that, because they don't exist. We're connected to all these other people in the communities we live in, and you know, whether it's the small micro community of our neighbors or the larger one of our municipality or our province. We're connected to them, whether in a very real sense, whether we want to be or not. And to suggest that you're not, it's just, I'm beginning to think, a sign of minor mental illness. And yet, over and over again, I read about people who say they have no responsibility to what's going on in other parts of the world, because they just don't. Because no one's ever done anything for them, so why should they do something for someone else? And I just think it's crazy. And it's not just, I mean, it's crazy from sort of a geopolitical sense. I mean, it usually has got a political agenda or motivation behind it, at least the ones that I've been reading. That's sort of where I spend my time when I'm doing this pseudo-research, I guess. But for people who have any kind of faith at all, to have them making similar kinds of statements, I'm just shocked. I'm absolutely shocked because of things like Paul, who says, we do not live to ourselves. We do not live to ourselves. We live to each other. We are connected to each other. Our lives are not our own. And for anyone who's moved into a relationship with God through Jesus, your life isn't your own anymore, because in the language of Paul in several different places, Jesus bought it. That when he redeemed you, he took you from death to life. He provided that. You no more have the beginning, middle, and end of all rights over your life as anything that is owned by someone else. We've got to be careful with the language there. We're not talking about slavery. We're not talking about how we are the same. We are not to Jesus as our automobiles are to us. We don't consult our cars. some of us name our cars, but you know, we don't consult them about where we're going to go. But we need to pay serious attention to this whole idea that Jesus has built within us, has given to us this life that is no longer solely concerned with us. And in our better moments, none of us live that way. None of us do. You know, I look out and I see generous people who give to the work of the church and help out their neighbors and help out strangers alike. And that's how we are. But we're swimming against the stream of a very noisy part of our culture that says you need to take care of yourself first. And there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself. Let's not get into some kind of strange idea that we are worthless, because nothing could be further than the truth. We're called to take care of ourselves. We're called to be responsible for our own needs, but not solely responsible. In the same way that we are called to give to those who need, we're called to ask for the help when we need it. All of us, I'm guessing without question, have had that experience at least once of finding out that someone needed help that we could have provided that they never asked for because they didn't want to bother us. Okay, what are you more bothered by? Like, what's the thing that is most irritating there? It's that they didn't ask. We have a deep desire. I think it's essentially human, and it comes to a much finer point in people of faith. A deep desire to help others. But we also have to be willing to be helped ourselves. We do not live to ourselves isn't something that's given only to me or only to you. We need to be the kind of people who provide help whenever needed, but who are also willing to ask for it. People who insist on doing everything on their own, assuming for a moment that you can, or who refuse to ask for help, are just really frustrating people to be around. Especially when it's your kids. I'm working really hard at helping my kids realize that asking for help doesn't demean them in any way, and in fact allows the people around them sometimes to exercise their gifts of giving and generosity and all those other things. If nothing else, watching your children, and I'm not talking about learning opportunities, but watching your children or people you care about take 10 times as long to do something as you could do for them is absolutely maddening, isn't it? Once again, I'd be surprised if you haven't had to suffer through that at least once. We don't live to ourselves isn't a command for us to do unpleasant things. Not living to ourselves is a call for us to live in the community that we all desperately want. It's a call to live lives that are not judgmental, but rather helpful. To look at the actions and behaviors of the people around us with a generous spirit that says that when that person does that thing that I wouldn't, there's a good chance they've thought it through, and that's what they think they should do. Paul puts it in terms of someone who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Someone who eats meat eats to the Lord. Someone who doesn't eat meat to the Lord. We need to look at each other with a generous spirit that says that when that person does whatever it is, they're doing that because that's what they think is right. They're doing that to bring glory to God. They're doing that because that's what fits their context best. We can't do that if we're the only thing that matters. Because if we're the only thing that matters, and everybody has to be exactly like us, because, well, we're the only thing that matters. But if we live lives not for ourselves, but also for those around us, it lets us provide and receive help. It lets us put the best possible interpretation instead of the worst possible interpretation on other people's actions. And it creates the environment in which community can flourish. Someone who never receives help, who refuses to receive help from anyone, is a barrier to community. And eventually may find themselves without one. That's a terrible thought. That this idea that you don't want to bother people, that you want to take care of yourself, you want to stand on your own two feet, can actually defeat everything that really matters. Being in a community that loves you and allows you to love them. But it can. We need to get away from this idea that we're all that there is, because we're not. I love the fact that Paul sums this little part up in verses 7 and 8. For none of us lives to himself or herself alone, and none of us dies to themselves alone. If we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. If we're willing to put in the work to get past our own selfishness, because we all have it, if we're willing to put in the work to resist our culture's strong suggestion that we shouldn't receive help or look for help or provide help anywhere, we will live together. We will live in community with others. And it's not so much that we're looking forward to not dying alone. It's more that from the moment we make these decisions, we are in community to the end. We're in community forever. It's a wonderful thought. But it's something we can't do if we've decided that we're what matters, that our behaviors are what everybody should do, that how we think about everything or anything is how other people need to think. We need to be open. We need to be hospitable to other people and to what they think. And if we do, if we refuse to live just to ourselves, or more to the point, if we admit the reality that it's impossible to live to yourselves, we'll find the richness of community that brings meaning to life, that makes worship services so much more than a bunch of people getting together in a room to sing songs and to speak and to listen. It's a little foretaste of what heaven will be like. A sense of community where we are together, where we're known, and where we're loved. We do not live to ourselves because we can't. And as believers, let's not even try. Amen.